Today, or this afternoon, although it looks like night, I want to talk to you about the night that everyone showed up. The night that everyone showed up. You know, Christmas is one of those days when everybody tends to show up. And the first Christmas, that really got crowded. It didn't start with a guest list. It didn't start with reservations. It didn't even start indoors, but it started in a barn, in a stable. And that first Christmas was less silent night and more, excuse me, is that your sheep stepping on my foot? And somehow, in the middle of hay and noise and exhaustion and awkwardness, God shows up right there in that barn, in that stable. And tonight, I want to take a slow walk through that barn with you to meet everyone who was there. Because every single one of them, from angels to animals, had a reason to worship. And so do we. I want to start with the barn itself. You know, we think the barn is just a building. But it was the holy place that no one expected. Because God could have chosen anywhere. But he chose here. In the barn, in the stable. Which means that God is not afraid of messy places. That he's not waiting for perfection before he shows up. That the barn teaches us something important. That worship isn't about creating the perfect environment. It's about recognizing that God is already present wherever it is. And some of us didn't come to this Christmas season this year feeling polished or feeling peaceful. And that's okay, because even in that, God feels right at home. The animals, the unlikely hosts to the birth of Jesus. We don't usually give the animals much attention, do we? Because they don't talk back, except for one in the Bible, the donkey. But I want you to think about this, that the barn was their space, their feeding trough, their nighttime shelter. And suddenly, without any warning, these humans show up. A mother in labor, a stressed out husband, angels singing overhead, shepherds running in. If those animals could talk, I imagine the donkey was thinking, absolutely not, this is my barn. And yet the animals stayed. They didn't run off. They stayed. They don't leave, they don't revolt, they don't demand better conditions. You see, what I'm trying to say is that creation itself makes room for the Creator. Isaiah tells us later that the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. Even creation recognizes when God is near. And maybe that's our first lesson of worship. That before song, before theology, before understanding, just making room for God is first. No matter where we are. And then comes along Mary. Not someone with a 5-year plan. Not someone with all the answers. But someone who said yes to God. before she even knew where she would give birth, or how Joseph's family would react, or what kind of pain would come with the obedience that she was stepping out into. And now here Mary is, not in a palace, not in a quiet home surrounded by experienced women, but in a barn. Can you imagine the weight of that moment on her? That every expectation that she had probably shattered right in front of her. And yet Mary worships. Not with a microphone, nor with a spotlight, but with presence. Sometimes worship looks like singing. And sometimes worship looks like staying faithful when life looks like nothing that you imagined. That Mary teaches us that worship is trust when our circumstances disappoint us. And then there comes Joseph. Joseph, the quiet but faithful one. Joseph doesn't get many lines in the Christmas story. And honestly, some of the most faithful people don't say much either. But Joseph believed God when things didn't make sense. He protected Mary when walking away would have been easier for him. He provided the best shelter that he could, even if it wasn't much. Joseph worships God not with words, but with obedience. He stays. He shows up. He does the next right thing. Worship isn't always loud. Sometimes worship is simply faithfulness while nobody is applauding us. And then the baby. The baby. God in a feeding trough. This is huge. Jesus. God didn't come as a king demanding worship. He came as a baby inviting us. He didn't shout commands. He cried. He didn't arrive with servants. But he arrived needing care. You see, church, the miracle of Christmas isn't just that God came near, but it's the way that he came near to us. So small you could miss him. So ordinary he could be overlooked. So humble that worship became a choice and not a requirement. That Jesus in the manger reminds us that true worship always begins with humility. His and our humility. And then come the angels. The choir that couldn't stay quiet. Angels to see one baby born quietly in Bethlehem. We're not whispering about this. They light up the sky and they sing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor exists. Rest. The angels worship God loudly because heaven can't contain the news any longer. And here's the thing about worship, that when God does something this good, silence becomes impossible. And then the shepherds, the ones who didn't expect the invitation. If anyone thought that they were not on the guest list that night, it was the shepherds. Shepherds were dirty and tired and considered unreliable. Not exactly the VIP Christmas guests. And yet they are the first ones that are told. Not priests, not kings, not scholars, just working men on the night shift. And the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For all people. And these shepherds do the simplest and most beautiful things. They go and see for themselves. That worship always involves movement toward Jesus. And once they see Jesus, what do the shepherds do? They spread the word. They rejoice. They glorify God. See, church, worship turns ordinary people into bold witnesses. And then there's the wise men. The ones who came later, but they came prepared. The wise men show up. Let's not ignore them. They bring gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But more importantly, they bring themselves. They traveled far. They followed a star. They bowed down. You see, church, even powerful men understood that the proper response to Jesus wasn't analysis, but it was worship. That worship humbles the powerful and it lifts the lowly. And this leaves me with a question. So what about us? So now the barn is full. Animals, Mary, Joseph, angels, shepherds, wise men, Janet and I, you. That everyone's reacting differently, but everyone is responding to the same truth, that God is here. And that's the invitation this Christmas for us. We don't all worship in the same way. Some of us are quiet like Joseph. Some are joyful like the shepherds. Some are reflective like Mary. Some are loud like angels. But church, the question isn't how we worship, but it's whether we do worship. That this Christmas season, I want to gently remind us that you don't need a perfect faith, that you don't need a perfect life, you don't even need perfect words. You just need to show up. Because when God shows up in a barn, when heaven stoops so low, the only reasonable response for us is worship. So let's worship over this next week with our songs, with our trust, with our obedience, with our joy, and with our lives. Just like they did in the barn. Can we just stand? Can we respond to that truth? That exact truth that was playing out in front of all those characters in the barn. That's playing out right here in our midst this afternoon. And can we just declare, God is here. Come on. God is here. I don't know. Have you people been singing all week that your vocal cords are sore? No. Or not
do
working?
Again,
can
God
we?
Is here.
Can we try again?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Are we awake now?
Yeah.
I'd hate to do aerobics at the end of the sermon. Right? One, two, three.
God is here!
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on.